welcome to another edition of Perspectives from Rothschild & Co. My name is Laura Kühnlin, and for today's edition, I'm once again joined by our global investment strategists, Kevin Gardiner and Victor Balfour.
Good morning, Kevin and Victor.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. I was actually tempted to kick off today's episode in German, following your recent trips to Frankfurt and the European Central Bank, Kevin. I'm sure you had the opportunity to perfect your German language skills while you were there.
I think it would take a lot more than a morning for me to perfect those particular skills, Laura. But it was a fascinating visit, and I was very pleased to have been invited to attend.
Well, glad to hear that. And we're looking forward to hearing your key takeaways from the trips and your fresh insights on monetary policy. But before we dive into that, let's start at the beginning. So, Victor, since our last conversation, market sentiment has shifted and geopolitical tensions have re-escalated in the Middle East. Should we be worried?
So, I mean, yes, after, I guess, 5 very quiet months, you know, stocks moved higher in almost a straight line through to the end of March. You know, we did see volatility return in April. I think global stocks were actually down at one point as much as 5% before retracing a little bit and towards the end of April. I think investors' concerns can really be grouped under 2 headings, I would suggest. So unsettling events in the Middle East, but also the business cycle. Now, clearly, of the two, the former is probably the most difficult to analyze. Certainly, Iran's attack and Israel's response was a meaningful escalation in the kind of geopolitical temperature in that region. And of course, uncertainty remains high today. And it may well be contributing to fragile sentiment. But I think what's interesting is the response from markets has not been sort of conventionally risk off. You know, in fact, since mid-April, stocks are actually up a little bit, bond prices and oil are actually down modestly. And I think what this is more likely about is the business cycle, particularly in the US, where we've seen signs that, you know, inflation remains pretty sticky. And in turn, the market has had a further kind of rethink on interest rate cuts, you know, when, how many interest rate cuts. I think that is what seems to be more in terms of shaping sentiment and risk appetite at this point in time.
So Kevin, Victor already mentioned interest rates. Does this mean we're still focused on the interest rate narrative? And is the higher for longer scenario back then?
Oh, definitely. The business cycle and interest rates in particular always matter to investments. And the higher for longer scenario, really, it never went away. It's been out there, we think, from the outset. Now, as things are turning out, it looks as if in the US, interest rates could be higher for even longer than we'd anticipated, because the economy has been even more resilient than we thought it could have been. And we wouldn't rule out the possibility that interest rates in the United States could be even higher for even longer. In other words, it's always possible that interest rates might have to go up again. We don't think that's likely to happen, but it's a possibility and it needs very much to be borne in mind. But in the case of the US capital market, definitely higher for longer is still very much the name of the game. Europe has decoupled a little bit from that, or can decouple from that. The Swiss National Bank, of course, has already managed to cut rates because it's not had a problem with inflation to begin with. The ECB has told us very publicly and very clearly that interest rates there are almost certainly coming down in June. So Europe has some leeway to decouple a little bit from that higher for longer narrative, but the US is the most important capital market, and that's very much the name of the game there.
So no imminent interest rate cuts on the horizon, and also higher bond yields. Would you suggest this presents a problem for the US Treasury, especially given the current discussions around the debt burden, Victor?
I think the short answer is no, but clearly debt is a big and pretty divisive topic. I think there is no doubt that, you know, the US deficit is already elevated, and I think clearly higher interest rates, as higher bond yields are talking about, put further pressure on that stretched fiscal position. And I guess the big worry is that it puts US debt, currently close to 100% of GDP at the moment, on a sort of exponential, unsustainable pathway. And I think we've seen many sort of big institutions, the CBO, the fiscal watchdog in the US, has been sounding the alarm on this with their long-term projections, as has the IMF even, talking about financial stability risks. However, at this stage, no one, and certainly not the bond market, is seriously questioning the creditworthiness of the US government. you know, the recent rise in treasury yields is not the return of the bond vigilantes, you know, questioning, you know, fiscal profligacy. Rather, you know, I think it still probably reflects resilient macroeconomic developments. And as far as I can see, yeah, investors' appetite for kind of credible, that is, high quality government bonds, you know, seems to remain as strong as ever. Having said that, there is no doubt that whoever wins the kind of presidential race, they will face some big fiscal questions in their first year in office. So I think that's something we need to keep in mind as we progress through into the end of this year and into next.
Changing topic slightly now, we are currently in the midst of the Q1 earnings cycle. What's your team's assessment of it so far?
So I'll take this. I think we're about halfway through earnings season at the moment, and so far it's been pretty respectable in the US. First quarter earnings growth is coming in at close to around 6% in year-on-year terms. Flattered, of course, I should be clear, by some of the big technology names. But I think even outside the kind of Magnificent Seven, you know, other US companies have been mostly kind of ahead of expectations. The story's been a little more disappointing in Europe. The hurdle rate was lower to begin with, but earnings there have fallen by about 7%. In the first quarter in year-on-year terms. I think on a longer-term view, the outlook remains pretty upbeat. You know, I think profits are kind of stabilizing it and pretty healthy levels, and they're poised to move higher both this year and next. In the US, for example, you know, analysts are penciling in about 11% earnings growth for this year, while we're seeing actually acceleration in expectations for next year. They're now pointing to robust 14% growth. So I think for now, the kind of corporate profitability story remains very much intact.
To finish off the discussion, Kevin, could you provide a summary for our listeners of the main takeaways to remember from our last asset allocation meeting and any changes?
Well, recent asset allocation meetings, we've been very much aware that the market backdrop until recently has been remarkably quiet. And so we were sort of waiting in recent meetings for a little bit of volatility to perhaps create some opportunities, at which point we might feel able to utilize a little bit more of the liquidity in our portfolio and to move more into capital markets. As things stand, we have a small overweight in equities, a small underweight in cash, and a neutral position in bonds. And we've been waiting, we think, for an opportunity to deploy a little bit more of the cash that we could into either equities or bonds. And we have now had a little bit of volatility, and it has been because indeed the market has come around to sharing that view that higher for longer really does matter, and it's been underscored. But so far, our feeling is that the volatility that we've seen in both stocks and bonds is not really enough to move the dial, as it were. So we're still pretty much sitting tight with only that modest overweight in equities and a correspondingly modest underweight in cash and a neutral position in bonds, waiting for a little bit more volatility perhaps to define a clearer entry point for either stocks or bonds, additions to those from here. So we're still sitting tight, looking for direction, if you like. The market has traveled quite some way. The global economy has traveled quite some way relative to expectations. Certain sectors and regions have moved a long way. And we're now at a stage where I think the investment community is effectively taking stock of how far we've traveled. And we're waiting to see exactly which direction the business cycle is likely to be headed in next.
So though we didn't start in German, I'd like to at least sign off with a thank you in German. So tausend Dank and speak soon.
Ja, bitte.
If you want to find out more about the topics discussed in this episode, please go on www.rothschildandco.com/insights. Thank you for listening.
Please note, this audio content is produced by Rothschild & Co. for information purposes only, and any reliance on the information provided in it is done at your own risk. This content should only be used or reproduced with the express written permission of Rothschild & Co. The podcast is not provided as a solicitation, recommendation, or invitation to buy or sell any security, fund, or any other banking or investment product. Nothing in this podcast constitutes advice of any sort, and no responsibility is accepted in relation to the fairness or accuracy of it. The value of investments and the income from them can go down as well as up, and you may not recover the amount of your original investment. Past performance should not be taken as a guide to future performance.